whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 4 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan on a college football playoff Thursday night. We're excited, and we'll have more of that coming up throughout the show. 2 hours to go all the way until 7 o'clock. Right now, speaking of football, it's time for an edition of The Finest, and here's your host, Eric Chiafalo.
Thank you very much. All right, let's dive into the carousel real quick, get you an update there. How about the Bears completing their interview with Pete Carroll? And I think he will actually be a legit option for the Bears or maybe even the Raiders, perhaps. We'll see how both those opportunities shake out. But I think the Raiders or the Bears might end up having the Pete Carroll fallback option there. I would hate it if I was a fan of either one of those teams. But I do think there's some legitimacy there. How about Aaron Glenn, Lions defensive coordinator? He's a hot commodity. It looks like it's going to come down to the Saints and the Jets for him. And he apparently declined an interview request from the Patriots.
Yeah.
And my guess is because he's like, I don't want to waste my time with that. I already know you guys want Vrabel. If it's not Vrabel, you want Ben Johnson to come in there and do the Tar Heel tie-up with the young quarterback Drake May. So that would be my guess there on why Aaron Glenn decided to decline that particular interview. And I think he's at the top of the board for the Jets and the Saints. So, and honestly, he's a guy. Like, when you start talking about the Cowboys and what could be out there that could be better, I'd be down for Aaron Glenn. I know he's never been a head coach before, so Jerry probably wouldn't consider it. But that's a dude that I would totally be down for. I think you're talking about building a culture, tough mindset kind of team. And obviously winning with some defense there, I think Aaron Glenn would be awesome.
Played here, yeah. So there is a tie. There is a tie there for Aaron Glenn. But I guess Justina Anderson, to your point, said Jets-Saints battling it out. So I don't know. What does that mean? We're like, okay, who's going to offer the most money here? I think if Aaron Glenn had a preference, he's got ties to New Orleans. The Saints make a lot of sense there for him. But good. I mean, he deserves it, man. Aaron Glenn's been one of the best defensive coordinators for the last 4 years, working his way up. And kudos to Dan Campbell. That was a hell of a hiring to bring him in when a lot of other teams weren't even thinking about him.
Yeah, no, he is one of the most respected coaches, I think, in the NFL when it comes to leadership, not only leading players, but, you know, establishing a standard for coach communication and values, and then, you know, teaching young players his schemes. Like, he checks every single box that you would want in a head coaching candidate. And if the Cowboys do decide to move on from Mike, I would hope that he's on their list.
Yeah, right, you know who Aaron Glenn reminds me of? Like, I think Aaron Glenn, and there's one other player that played for an opposing team in a big game against the Cowboys that I always think of. Santana. Ooh. Moss.
Oh, that time that he Monday Night Football.
He burned him and Roy Williams twice in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! But I still love you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Santana Moss, underrated legend, dude. That guy had some games, bro. He had some serious games. And the thing I love about Dennis Allen as well is, Aaron Glenn.
About to say, what do you really like about Dennis Allen?
I don't like anything about Dennis
I was thinking, where's he going to take this?
That's actually funny because he was the first coach fired this year, and I haven't heard a single ounce of tidbit on what staff he might end up on.
He's been doing some podcasting work. He went with Jay Glazer, kind of walking you through when you have a job and when you lose it in the NFL and how it affects you and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a defensive coordinator for you right there. Absolutely.
I wonder if he have McCarthy ties. Has he worked with Mike before? Let me look. I'll check on that.
I don't want to throw that one out the window.
He's not a bad defensive coordinator, just absolutely terrible head coach. I think we all knew that when the Saints went ahead and hired him.
He's had a couple of shots. He had the Raiders shot, and he had the New Orleans shot.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But Brady's not in the league anymore, and he was like the one guy that could stop Tom Brady.
Yeah.
you know, on the Vrabel front, I still think he ends up getting the job with the Patriots. He, of course, is a hot commodity, but Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting that there's serious buzz around the idea that, especially if Vrabel ends up in New England, that he'll just bring back Josh McDaniels to be the offensive coordinator. And I'll tell you what, if that was his plan, maybe it's just specific to the Patriots because of that connection, but if that's his plan in general, then that would knock a lot of shine off the Vrabel idea if that is the play caller that he's trying to bring with him wherever he goes.
He could end up being this year's Cliff Kingsbury for you, potentially. I don't think McDaniel's necessarily that bad of an OC, man. I mean, his Mac Jones' rookie year, they went 9-7, and he had Mac Jones looking like the best quarterback of that draft class. And then he left, and Mac Jones completely fell apart. Like, might not be a terrible offensive coordinator, but I hear you. The dude seems like an absolute POS.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be wrong there. Maybe that's a guy that as a coordinator specifically, he can thrive. Obviously, most of his dominant years are with Brady, so it's hard to really give much credit to there. But the Mac Jones, that's a fair notch on the belt for sure. But it looks like Vrabel's trying to bring McDaniels with him wherever he's going to end up. The Niners complete their interview with Robert Saleh to be their defensive coordinator. That seems like a no-brainer if he doesn't end up getting a head coach job elsewhere. And what about Mike Greenberg today teeing up the idea that the Cowboys and Jerry Jones are just waiting for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorn season to end, and then Jerry will jump all over Steve? That would be something that, and I don't know if Steve would want to. I don't think that Jerry would come correct with the dollars that, like, the Longhorns are able to pay him at least $10 million a year. Jerry would never touch that. But the idea of big name college coach, offensive dude, I could see Jerry being enticed by that, but I just don't ever imagine that he would be willing to pay for it.
Yeah, and Greeny was trying to sell that idea hard, you know, so I salute him. But I think this just falls under the umbrella of these NFL TV shows know they have to talk about this, and they're brainstorming anything in their pre-air meeting. Like, what kind of an angle could we throw out here to keep this conversation going? Because, you know, the truth is boring, you know, just that they're waiting to get this deal done because that is what the Cowboys do. But I've been racking my brain. I still cannot find a single reason that Mike McCarthy would turn down whatever the Cowboys' best offer is, you know, as long as it's just a few bucks more than what he got last year.
Well, I agree with you, Dawson. I'll tell you the thing that would, you know, what are their stipulations? You know, obviously this is something now they've probably talked a couple of days about, and all of a sudden, instead of saying, yeah, we have a deal, well, maybe, you know, we haven't heard any national media break it or anything like that. So maybe there's something that's kind of hanging this thing up, and, you know, Mike really wants to make a decision about. I do feel like that Mike, I don't know if he's necessarily thinking about himself. I think he's thinking about these coaches. You know, I think he's thinking about these guys as, okay, if I take this and, you know, I'm making sure that they're okay for a few years. If I don't take it, then where am I at? You know, what are those guys going to do? Are they going to find their ways to other staffs and stuff like that? That's the big question mark right now. I think if Mike was going to take this, I kind of feel like this would have been done by now. I think there might be some holdup here, a little holdup.
Well, I'd be pumped about Sark.
What's that?
I'd be pumped about Sark. I think that would be a great hire. The problem is Greeny should have looked at his buyout numbers. They're astronomical. And I don't think Chris Del Conte is going to want to play ball with Jerry or another NFL team to allow him to leave Texas. He's got a $54.4 million buyout. Ooh. After this year, it goes down to 45.4, 36.5, 27.5. They put crazy buyout numbers in here in his latest contract extension to the Longhorns. So they've got all the control.
I'd have no reason to believe he could be successful. You know, his one stint with the Falcons for a couple of years, it went down both years. They missed the playoffs, and then Shanahan steps in, and it's an all-world type of offense. So, you know, I would be shocked if the Cowboys would have interest. That $54 million number, though, that's egg on Greeny's face if I've ever seen it.
Yeah. And especially the idea, too, that Texas is kind of winning – because of their defense in a lot of ways, And Quinn Ewers hasn't quite met the expectations, so could that be on, like, Sark? You got Quinn Ewers, he's supposed to be a super beast, and he's somewhat underwhelmed for the most part. So, but, man, that game tomorrow night, I cannot wait to see which version of Quinn Ewers we get. Can he take the momentum from the end of that game late in the fourth quarter in overtime versus ASU? Can he take that into AT&T Stadium and rock and roll versus this Buckeyes team? It's going to be absolutely outstanding. Okay, now we have some sound here of Peter King. He was on with Jim Gray, and listen to the way he paints the picture for what might be in store for Aaron Rodgers coming up.
I think we have seen Russell Wilson hit a wall, and whether Mike Tomlin is even thinking about, I'm sure he's not right now, thinking about 2025, they got a playoff game coming up. But if I were the Pittsburgh Steelers, knowing that I've got Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, I got guys on defense with their expiration dates not long in the future, you know, and I would want to come in and try to get a quarterback who could make me competitive with Baltimore and Cincinnati in 2025. And that guy to me would be Aaron Rodgers.
How about that? Peter King painting the Aaron Rodgers picture in Pittsburgh. I actually do think that would be an upgrade over Russell Wilson. But, man, like, how long do you want to go with these old quarterbacks? You had Ben Roethlisberger at the end for so many years. Now you got the end of Russell Wilson. Do you want to – I mean, how would Mike Tomlin really welcome Aaron Rodgers into that situation with all the crap that Aaron Rodgers brings with him? That just feels like a headache. I mean, Mike Tomlin can certainly handle it because we know the type of headache personalities he's dealt with over the years. But welcoming that in at that age for a guy who's clearly not even close to the height of his powers, I don't know, but it certainly could make some sense as the Steelers are not going to be in a great position to draft a quarterback this year.
Especially if I could get Aaron Rodgers, you know, at a very discounted rate, you know, then I'd be thinking like, all right, Aaron Rodgers wants a shot at a championship. We have, you know, the surrounding pieces for him. But, you know, all things being equal, or Aaron Rodgers asking for $50 million a year, I would rather trade for Kirk Cousins. I think at this point, that's how far Aaron Rodgers has fallen off to me.
Ooh. Yeah, man, that's
Cousins?
Interesting.
Cousins will probably come cheaper.
Yeah, and Cousins, probably his highs were higher than Aaron, even on his ayahuasca trips, you know, when he was going into the darkness. So the stat numbers weren't terrible for Rodgers, 28 TDs to 11 interceptions, but I think we all saw him play and were like, my God, that dude looks like he is on the verge of immobility at its finest. He probably should retire.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers stuff, we'll see what he ends up wanting to do, which team will want him. But the Pittsburgh Steelers being an option, that would be super interesting. Okay,
that's where
now,
I'd want to go.
That's where you'd want to go?
If I was Rodgers, yeah. I'd be like, man, this gives me my best shot. Look at what they can do with maybe average or below average quarterback play. And if I'm Rodgers, I'm believing in myself. You know, I think trying to finish this up on top, that's the best bet.
Any chance he ends up in Vegas?
Yeah, there's a chance. Vegas and Pittsburgh are two teams that make a lot of sense. They're going to need quarterbacks. They're probably not drafting high enough unless they move up to be able to get one of the top guys this year.
Wow. Brady welcoming in Rodgers. That could be an interesting dynamic there with the Raiders. But certainly, I mean, because I think the destinations for Rodgers will be pretty limited. And, of course, you have a much better chance to win with the Steelers than you do the Raiders. So, that's another team that you'd have to be on the lookout for as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers. Now, we'll close it down here with just a nice business opportunity capitalizing on a slight that was thrown this player's way. Amon-Ra St. Brown is now profiting thanks to George Pickens. If you remember earlier in the year, George Pickens, wide receiver for the Steelers, went on Fox Sports and was listing his top five receivers in the NFL. He left off Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he called St. Brown a slight slot merchant. that gets fed the ball by the Lions, and so his numbers are super inflated. Well, now you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's got his own website and everything, and he's created his own slot merchant clothing brand. So you can get some slot merchant merch there. I'm sure Lions fans are dialing it up in a huge way. Hoodies, T-shirts. Yeah. He's wearing it in the pregame. That's how you capitalize right there. Shout out to Amon-Ra St. Brown, the slot merchant capitalizing with dollar bills, as George Pickens is probably going to go take the L to the Ravens, man. That's beautiful.
It is genius, man. That's how you flip it on them. Thank you, Eric Chiafalo, with an addition of the finest mystery guests. Coming right back for a segment when we return. We'll hit the expressway and chat football with you. LA Live's coming up in 25 minutes, and we're back here. It's the G-Back Nation and the Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. It has been dang near 3 years since I looked up on my computer and saw this next guest in our Zoom chat. This segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. And the Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. And now, making his return after quite a journey over the last nearly 3 years. It's Jeff Cavanaugh here on The Fan. And a good evening, brother. How you doing?
Yeah. Kicking ass and taking names. What's going on, gentlemen? It's good to see you.
What up?
Man, it's been a lot of fun watching your journey since you set out a long time ago, but never as fun as watching you crush Jerry Jones this week, brother.
Dude.
What got you started?
I don't know. I do have a question. Do my buttons work on the broadcast?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
They don't work.
That's a bummer. Because
okay. You got some good buttons.
I mean, just not doing anything for an entire offseason, just and watching him become even more him, I think, has just become like when you finally reached the boulder up to the top of the hill and now it's just rolling down the other side and it's going real, real fast. Like, I think I get more and more mad at him every day watching, you know, just the way that the most competitive teams who are trying to win a Super Bowl operate and the way that he does not operate. Like, just talking about the last segment that you guys were doing. Just in a world where Steve Sarkisian was like, I'd love to coach the Cowboys. And they're like, all right, $54 million buyout. Like, Jerry would not even think about it. He'd be like, no, obviously I'm not going to spend that money. Just everything. Just all of the ways that the Cowboys let stuff fall between the cracks. I don't know what it was that made me go off the first time, but then I just kind of realized it was fun. And now it's almost a bit where it's just like, can somebody say something good about Jerry today to get me mad? And then if I get mad, they all just have fun watching me yell at Jerry.
Broadus is usually that guy for us. He's usually got something really sweet and kind to say about Jerry.
I usually do.
He actually feels bad for him, Jeff.
I do. I feel sorry for him. I've got like idiots like me giving him advice. I think it's made him a terrible general manager.
I do feel bad for Jerry when I see him on video. Like, it was yesterday or whenever it was, I saw the video that was posted of Jerry talking about, it also geared me up to do another rant when he was talking about how the timing of the deals he's done, he has no regrets and there's, you know, he wouldn't change anything and it doesn't stop Dak or CeeDee from playing well when they sign him. And I'm like, well, it actually affects your salary cap. And CeeDee literally told people that he didn't feel like he was ready and their connection wasn't very good early in the season. It's like, he just, the fact that he lives in his own little delusional world and that the ego is just so freaking massive, it just drives me bonkers. And then you're watching the Eagles. The Eagles. You can't convince me that Nick Sirianni can coach a lick. And yet they've got a GM and a cap guy that just whip your ass. And it's frustrating. And I don't want the team to suck. I want the team to be good. I want me some glory hole. I want to figure out, is it the hot dog or the bun? And, you know, he's not going to let us find out because he's silly.
Sounds like you might be more discouraged as far as this team winning a Super Bowl than I last recall. Is your optimism low? Or do you think they can overcome?
I don't think they'll ever. Jerry absolutely won't win a Super Bowl. No, Jerry won't. I think it's just more. I think it's more of an approach thing, right? Like I think Romo was good enough to win a Super Bowl. Dak is or was good enough to win a Super Bowl. I think once you get to the point where once upon a time I thought, and I still do think this to some extent. like, you can't judge guys on, like, if they've played in two playoff games and it's like, well, that's it. That guy must not be a good playoff player. I think shrinking a sample size that's already the smallest in sports to even smaller is probably not the most wise thing. But I also think when you're talking about getting to, let's say you go 12-5 again and you get there and you're in the mix and it's like, all right, this is great. I promise in the offseason, the other team where you spent $4 million on Eric Kendricks, you're going to have to go through three teams that said $4 million. We can fit a $25 million player into that slot and we'll deal with it later. Like the Cowboys had $4 million, Eric Kendricks. The Eagles said, what can we do with $4 million? And the answer is Saquon Barkley. Like that's the difference in approach between guys who run an organization thinking they can win a Super Bowl this year or next and guys who run an organization probably with an actual fixed budget. And, like, I just don't want to spend the money that it takes to be competitive. So, yeah, somewhere along the line, I just Jerry's worn me out. I'm tired.
I agree with that frustration. You mentioned Dak is or was good enough to win a Super Bowl. And in a year where you lose your quarterback, it's like that should be the thing you're most excited about the next year. Oh, my gosh, I get Dak back. But the version we saw of Dak prior to injury, I'm not really excited to get back. How are you feeling about Dak going into 2025?
This is the least, definitely the least certain I've ever been about Dak. Like, I just think, is it a matter of, he hasn't run the same since his leg fell off. And then you get, when he's rehabbing that, a shoulder, and then what else do you have, a calf, and all the different things. And the guy that we were watching this season, I don't know, it just didn't look, it did not look like peak Dak. I won't write him off. I'll lean towards Dak is still going to be a really good NFL quarterback, but having it end injury-wise combined with the way that he was playing leading up to getting hurt, this is the least certain I've ever been that Dak's going to be really, really good.
It's Jeff Cavanaugh here with us on 105.3 The Fan. So, I mean, now you're with All City Dallas, right? Let's just get people up to date that want to check your stuff out. We know you do the stuff with Brian Broaddus every week, but the place to find you or your employer, this new player in the digital space, All City Dallas, how's that going?
It's great. You know, it's an hour a day. We're on, what are we, I forget. We're on from 11 to 12 doing Cowboys every day, and we have a show there doing all of your pro sports, your local pro sports team. So it's just DLLS. You just take the A's out of Dallas, DLLS Sports, and it's podcast and it's YouTube. And it's super fun. What was a revelation to me, Clarence Hill is a wild ass.
Yeah.
Clarence Hill is a wild ass, and I love it so much.
Has he fought you yet? Has he asked your opinion and then fought you on your opinion? I mean, it's like, I was like, hey, man, I got a question for you. And then you give him an answer, and he'll fight you on your answer. I've never dealt with somebody like that. I respect the heck out of him. I'm like, do you want my opinion or do you not want my opinion? You know, but he'll fight you every day on stuff.
So yesterday we were talking about something before our show, and Clarence said some sort of declarative statement about something. And I don't remember if it was Jesse Holly or Joe Hoyt was agreeing with him. And he started fighting within eight words.
Exactly.
And they're like, wait, no, Clarence, I'm telling you I agree. Yeah. And
So how much are you looking at the draft these?
To go.
Oh, sorry.
No, but I'm having a great time. It was great to find a job after leaving one job working with you guys, which I think everybody knows. I left in it was a design to improve this show. So it was like, all right, we're doing this show, but we had Wooly Bully and we had Chi Chi, and they were just like hanging out late at night. And I was like, you know what I think those guys want to do? I think they want to make a bunch of babies. And if you want to make a bunch of babies, you can't be working late at night. And so I quit so that they could work earlier in the day and make this show better. And then my master plan was to go somewhere and get fired pretty quick. And everything worked out super good. Everybody got everything just right.
Now you're working 1 hour a day, bro. That is unbelievable. Yeah, okay. How's that feel?
You don't want to know.
Rub it in. Five. Come on. I know you miss five a little bit.
I was talking to... when I was texting with Gavin before coming on and just about, you know, the amount of time that goes into your work days and how much time you have in the world. My biggest challenge in the world is figuring out what the hell am I going to do now?
Yeah.
I go to work and I come home, I stare at the wall and it's 12:30. So it is, it's very challenging. It's very tough. I think I wish I had to work more. No, I don't. Yes, I no, I don't. Yes, I no, I don't. I don't know.
Well, you're looking at college players now.
Subscribe to my YouTube page.
You're looking at college players now. You're doing a good job looking at college players. You got that. You got
I am 50-something players in. Yeah. It does make for more time of watching the college players, and tonight will be a bunch of fun. Let's see if we can get – let's see if Abdul Carter at Penn State. That pass
we need
rusher,
a, we need a gas shoulder... mask situation there, Jeff, if we're going to get that one.
Well, his shoulder's banged up.
Yeah.
And if it could be bad enough,
yeah.
you know, if we could get
– Medicals,
could
we can start the medical rumors right now if you want. Like teams,
yeah,
teams
you know,
are talking about him taking him off the board.
If he takes the field tonight,
yeah,
could be a chronic thing. And, you know, yeah. get
to amputations on the line. I heard
you might get.
He's got a lot of problems. Teammates, nobody went to his birthday party. Is my understanding.
Yeah. Where are you at with Genty, Jeff? Would you take Genty at 12?
Oh God,
let's do it. We love running back fights on this show.
My, you know, my player evaluation rankings and where I've put him and how good of a player I think he is says yes, but there's still a part of me that just screams no. I think the only reason that I think yes, I could or I would is because I think when you're drafting, there's an element of how sure am I? Like Tyler Guyton got picked in the first round because he's a really big dude. That moves good. It wasn't because he was a first round football player. Like watching him, my notes just scream.
Sure.
Hey, you probably don't want to play him as a rookie.
Project.
Like he's, you know, it's a nice ball of clay to mold. Probably don't want to play him as a rookie. And so, like, the further down in the draft you get, the more you're swinging at whatever you're hoping you can turn somebody into. I think there's some of that in the top 10 in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a good top 10. Agreed. And so if you feel like Ashton Genty is the best running back prospect since, and I guess everybody's going to be different. I know Brian and I disagree by this much. I think that I probably liked Bijan Robinson a little more. But if you think Genty is the best runner in years and you're not sold on a lot of these other guys that are supposed to be top 10, I do think there's something to making a pick that you know exactly what he is, not – well, here's a guy that I think can be a really good pass rusher if we get him there. And so, like, in this year's draft, sure, I could take Genty at 12.
Jeff, between the two Texas kids, Barron the corner, and then also Banks the tackle, if you got stuck at 12 with those two names, which one of the Texas kids would you take?
I'm a Kelvin Banks guy. So Kelvin Banks is Texas's left tackle. I think he could be a left tackle in the NFL, no problem. But I actually think that it would be a lot of fun in an offseason where I believe Zach Martin's going to retire. I think most of us think Zach Martin's about to retire.
Yeah.
If he played guard in the NFL, I think he could be the next Zach Martin type, where you drafted a college All-American left tackle that, let's say he plays 16 years, then 21 years from now is putting on a Hall of Fame jacket.
Sure.
Like, that's what I think could happen if you took Kelvin Banks and slapped him at guard, which might make a lot of Cowboy fans mad. I feel like a lot of Cowboy fans have already fallen in love with Brock Hoffman, and it's just like, that's my right guard. Leave me alone. But I think Kelvin Banks is a stud. I like Barron a lot. He can play. He's played every corner position, safety, quarterback, spy. He's done everything, and he's a really, really, really good player. I'm becoming a boring football man after watching how a bunch of teams are winning. Let's get the trenches going. Let's get some big dogs.
Get on over here, Bill.
Well, you're the wide receiver whisperer. Why don't you have the Ohio State wide receiver number one on your board?
Oh, you want me to expose my own cowardice?
Okay. Yeah.
But he's not better than McMillan, but I do love
the two. Oh, no. You're about to hear why.
Brian wants me to expose my cowardice. I don't love Arizona's Tet McMillan as much as a lot of people do.
Okay.
I think that his profile is really, really good, right? He had instant impact as a college player, massive numbers. He has a massive catch radius. He's a smooth operator for being the size that he is, blah, 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 all the good things, right? I don't think that he's super athletic. I don't think at his size that he wins physically, like in a the cornerback is roughing me up situation. I don't think that he dominates them in a way that at that size you wish that he would. And what is my third thing? I had a third thing, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. Like, I have questions about him. But the thing is, It's also a pretty clean profile at a position that is harder to fill in the NFL, which is the big man X outside receiver, right. go kick ass. And so I'm still too big of a coward. What I would say is the receiver or maybe the guy in this draft that I feel the safest about is Ohio State's Emeka Ebuka receiver.
Okay.
He's a slot dude that runs every route. Yeah. He's perfect at diagnosing man or zone and finding the right spot. The way he frames up a football to catch it is perfect.
Yeah.
He's an incredible blocker. He can take handoffs. I think he lacks, he'll never be anybody's number one. I think he's going to be somebody's number two for 8 to 10 years. And so I'm just too big of a coward to actually say he's the best receiver in this draft because I don't think he'll be anybody's number one, and I think Tet might be. So I'm a coward. I admit it, though.
It's all good.
Yeah, I love the honesty, Jeff. You hear the voice of Jeff Kavanaugh back with us here on 105.3 The Fan, talking draft for the first time in too long, man. It is great to see. I'd love to get your thoughts. Speaking of these college players, the Longhorns going to bring this championship home to the great state or what?
I do think the championship's tomorrow. I think the college championship is tomorrow. That's my gut. Do I think Ohio State or Texas is going to win? Texas is getting the right tackle back. If Ohio State plays the way Ohio State played last week, they're going to roll everybody. But they haven't done that all year. Texas got the corner. They got good offensive line play. Ohio State's got two good backs and those receivers. Mm-hmm. Y'all want me to be a homer?
Be a homer.
Say it for the fan base.
Yeah, homer it up,
baby. Hey, I think Ohio State's gonna be a homer.
I was wearing burnt orange and picked Ohio State yesterday on the break with Derek.
Ohio State's gonna beat them, but Ohio State hasn't. It's not like they're consistently who they are. So who knows? Who knows? Put Arch in, baby. We're gonna suck next year for the Cowboys. We're tanking for Arch out the gate. We're going for Arch.
Love it, buddy. Have a great night. Enjoy the football weekend, college and NFL playoffs, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right. Love everybody. Peace out, Tolos.
Love you, homie.
More. See you, dude.
Salute. JC, longtime fan alumni. What did he put in here? About 10 years. Put about a decade strong in here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers.
13
years? Holy crap, we're getting old. I can say that about the both of us now. All righty, we got LA Live coming up here in just a second. It is a Mavs game night. They're going to host the Trailblazers coming up at 7:30. A game you got to have. Stars are at the Flyers here coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Winners of five in a row. So excited about, this another great sports night. And, of course, Notre Dame and Penn State under an hour away as well. Okay, so coming up at 6 o'clock here in the GBAC Nation, you'll get a chuck wagon. I have questions for the college football weekend. We'll talk Texas, Ohio State coming up at 6:20. But right now, it's time to go back into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Hello, Jeff. Bye, Jeff. Hello. You should have stayed and did your Jeffrey time, buddy.
Maybe next
Jeffrey time.
Time.
Maybe next time. All right, let's get into our LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. Do, do. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Ladies! One thing you wish men understood better about women, what would it be?
Like, when something is fine, it's not fine. Like read between the lines.
You mean be a mind reader?
Yeah, exactly.
So men are expected to be mind readers.
Exactly.
Why do women often expect men to do things that they're not physically capable of?
I don't know. I haven't encountered, I don't do that. Like, I don't expect men to do things they're incapable of.
Isn't that what you just said, though?
Being a mind reader?
Yeah. Well, you want us to read between the lines, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who's better at communication, men or women?
Women.
So if men are worse at communication, why do so many women expect men to read their body language?
I think men are better communicators logically. Women are better with, communicating, emotionally.
Okay, can you think of any situation where logic wouldn't outweigh emotions?
I think logic should always outweigh emotion.
Yeah. Boy, put her in a spin cycle. My God.
Yeah.
Incredible. Oh, the logic right there. Hey, man, this is
one that's aware.
Burley. This is LA Live for Thursday, January 9th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live here. Yes, it's always for the ladies. Ow! Splash! All that good stuff. There you go. Splash. What else we got for the ladies real quick?
Hey.
You're going to hell, Shonda, because you're a hoe.
Okay. All right. No, not that one. I don't like that one. What else we got right here for the ladies?
Or I hate women.
Whoa, no, that's not it.
Oh, gosh.
It's the hoe and holy.
It's the hoe and holy.
I'm moist.
Oh.
I'm moist. Good God, I'm moist.
Okay, that's enough. That is enough. Hey, fellas, have you ever had to get over someone that you never met?
To think of, you know, maybe a TV character or something.
Yeah.
You know, never met him, but.
Yeah, that's a good.
I do miss that Walt White.
Topanga, yeah. Topanga, I think, was definitely a first crush up there.
Yeah, okay. I can see Topanga. I can definitely see Topanga. You had to get over her, and, like, it hurt for a while. Like, man, this is not. Why am I upset? Why is this hurting me a little bit?
Yeah, when the realization sets in that there's just no chance, you know, it takes a while to overcome that, especially at a young age, you know, impressionable, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
Well, where's my Topanga? You know, it's a one of one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made us think we're all going to find our Topanga. Didn't work that way.
No.
When Phil Hendry went off the air, I had to get over that. That guy was a legend. Huh? Tom Likas, too.
What?
Phil Hendry. Remember the Phil Hendry show?
You had to get over that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like in a romantic way, but it was a big part of my schedule.
Hey, Phil was a guy.
You remember Phil Hendry?
Not like that.
He was a freaking legend.
Nah, he must
not
have been,
like that.
He must have been a stud.
He looked like Broadus with a beard.
Gee, he's a stud.
And more testosterone.
Okay. By the way, that Topanga, I found a girl that does adult entertainment.
Hmm.
She looks just like a Topanga to me. Her name is Indica Flower. Definitely on those notifications. I'm liking every like. I'm saving. I'm bookmarking. I'm going back and I'm looking. Yeah, oh, my God, man. She's got me in the chokehold. But, yeah, I had to get over somebody as of late. There's a TV show called Power. You guys ever heard of Power?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very good show.
Lala?
No, not Lala. Not Lala. Yeah, there's a TV show called Power, you know, Ghost, Tommy, Tariq, yeah. All of that other stuff. Lala is on that show. But there's an actress on there by the name of Paige Hurd.
Okay.
Paige Hurd. Hold on, let me turn this music down because this is. I found this out 4 days ago, bro. And it's really been on my mind.
Oh, no.
For 4 days. I'm a grown man. Why is this bothering me like this?
You lost your woman.
Yeah, about 4 days ago, some photos came down my timeline of her and a dude named Royce O'Neal. He plays in the NBA.
Yes.
He plays for the Suns. I mean, what is he, like the 18th man off the bench?
Yeah, he's not that good.
I'm hating, bro. He came across my timeline during the Christmas time, and they had all, like, the Christmas clothes on. You know, you got the plaid and whatnot, and you take your little couple photos. Like, hey, we in love and we like each other.
There's some pregnancy rumors.
No, what? What?
Yeah.
Won't y'all chill out, fool?
Yeah, really she's, down. Yeah.
Took her out the game.
Lucy, she's from
she a
Dallas.
Local gal. I see her in a match uniform here.
She's from
Dallas.
You
got a shot, bro.
Yeah.
Pregnant, dog?
Yeah.
Rumors, okay? Allegedly, Lucy. Allegedly.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was those matching little couple outfits that they had on. That's really got me by the Christmas tree and stuff. Oh, my gosh. They were all silly, looking each other in the eyes. I'm hating, bro. It's been a pretty weird week for you, boy.
Oh, she said she's not pregnant.
Okay, so she's saying no.
She's saying no. She went on Instagram and posted a simple, clear, and direct message. I am not pregnant. I'm older than Royce. The end.
Oh.
That's what she said.
Royce ain't getting kids.
Yeah, he got to chill out. Royce got to chill,
alleging
bro.
Alleging that she's from Frisco.
So I know that she was born here in Dallas.
True.
And then moved to Los Angeles at some point.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know where she's from, but come on, man.
Maybe the fires will bring her home.
Man, come on. I'm just saying.
Come on, man. Not the 10th guy on the bench. That's all I'm saying, bro. All you got to do is just be in the NBA or have some paper, bro. And they just fall to you. You ain't got to have no game. He's goofy as hell.
She's got a roster.
I'm hating. Ooh, I'm hating. Ooh. Ooh, you can just hear the hate in me. Yeah, it happens to the best of us. G Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G Bag Nation on Twitter. Damn. Our winner right here is Tampa Bay. The guy on the mic at Tampa Bay. He's calling the Baker Mayfield touchdown, and he doesn't know the name of the receiver. We're thinking. He just called him a receiver, and he said it real fast.
Shot, empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking, flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open, oh, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
We love you, Gene.
Yeah, man, good stuff right there, bro. All right. What else we got for you boys on the Ladies Night edition of LA Live on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, now, we were talking about crushes and getting over people that you never met. Former WWE star Brie Garcia. You know who this is?
Brie Garcia.
Brie Garcia. B-R-I-E Garcia.
Searching.
Okay. While you're doing that, she was on Coach Prime and Roxy Diaz's show, which is on Tubi. Now, I don't know where Coach Prime gets all of this time to do everything he has to do, but somehow, like Broadus, he gets it done. Somehow, he gets it done. And Roxy Diaz has OnlyFans for her toes, by the way, for those who are interested in that type of situation. Yeah, well, the former WWE star, Brie Garcia, she confessed to Coach Prime that, Coach Prime, you were my first crush. Yeah. Listen to my man Deion Sanders. take in this information right in front of this girl.
I heard that you guys had a very interesting high school crush.
Yeah, Brie.
Well, it was actually middle school.
Okay.
And it was you, Deion.
Yeah.
You were my first celebrity crush.
Yeah.
You should have told me that. Wait a minute.
You open with that.
Wait a minute now. You should have told me that.
Deion, maybe not middle school, but maybe like early college days.
You should have told me that.
Yeah. Yeah. You were my first celebrity crush.
Yeah.
You should have told me that.
You want to know something crazy?
How did that come about?
Yeah. Okay, so listen to this. So our grandfather.
Is this play or this for real?
Is this for real? Deion said, don't play with me, bro.
For real.
I can't wait.
I was like looking through a box of my childhood photos because I'm like, I need to find the picture of me and Deion's jersey. But my grandfather, full blooded Italian from South Philly. So we're diehard Philadelphia Eagle fans.
Oh, got you. Hold on, I'm not finished. They kept on talking, but I couldn't save it earlier because. There's a lot going on up in this joint. Here we go. Some more.
Part of my family, because they're like, wait, she has Deion Sanders' Dallas Cowboy jersey. And the fact that you were my crush could have got me kicked
she
out
had
of
your
the family.
Poster on her wall.
Which one was it? Was it the water, the land?
Oh, it probably was.
You're right remember next all your to posters? Shania
Not
Twain.
All of them. I had a lot of them.
I had like no doubt Deion and Shania.
There you go.
You know,
well, you were my first crush.
What was it about him that made him crushable?
You kind of had like that bad boy attitude.
Oh yeah.
You see, when she started doing like that and moving her neck,
you know what I mean?
I was in that baby when she.
I loved it.
Yeah. Deion stood up, bro. I thought he lost a toe. He jumped up like he ain't lose no toes.
He was giddy.
Coach Prime was like, "Oh yeah, I got a spot for you out here." Coach Prime is tripping, bro. Yeah, look her up, man. She's a beautiful young lady.
She's got a twin sister.
Yeah, apparently.
Are they the Bellas?
Is that that?
Brie Bella, yes.
Okay, yeah. They're the Bella sisters?
Yeah.
I didn't know their real last name.
She's married to a wrestler. Bryan Danielson?
Yeah. I think the other one was with John Cena.
Oh.
Lucius is into hippies. I know exactly who you're talking about. Hey, man, she's a baddie, bro. And she, like, used to have the hair under her arms, and that would kind of throw me off a little bit, but she's shaving it now.
She's shaving it?
She's shaving it. I'm talking about the Topanga porn star. Yeah, I should.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I was thinking about a gal maybe you met in Austin back in the day.
Indica Flower.
Gals aren't too far from Portland gals sometimes.
Boy, you take a lot of shots at old Portland girls. I feel bad for them. You take some shots.
It was frustrating.
It was frustrating.
All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Ladies Night. In the why did she do this category... Did y'all see the video of the UK female prison guard that went viral this summer? You guys remember that at all?
Yes. I do remember the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Google it up. Just, I mean, look at it on Twitter right now just so you can get a good grasp of what she was doing, because she was definitely in her bag.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. Now look,
they were in her bag.
Yeah. She was busting it down with some inmates on camera, bro.
How did that happen?
Why on camera? You already breaking the rules, but why on camera? Like, is this a stunt to make you famous or something? Because she's gonna sell
that tape.
She's a beautiful young. Yeah. She didn't have to. It's free for everybody to look.
Oh,
she let them record her, and she was getting active. She was getting active, and she's married,
which isn't uncommon, right? But I mean, to do it on camera like that and be exposed, there's significant consequences for that. Most people have standards, and you know, sneak off and do a stairwell or a pantry or something.
Yeah. And she was hooking both of those guys up in that jail cell on camera. That is wild.
Wow.
Yeah, and I do hear that sometimes it does get down that way. I think a prison guard got fired. She was messing around with Lil Wayne.
Oh,
yuck. What are you thinking? She's married to some MMA dude, so I feel bad for this guy because he, you know, sees this video of his old lady, and everybody knows that's your girl. You know, you've taken her places with you. She's a beautiful lady. That's pretty bad. Well, she has been sentenced to 15 months behind bars in London for her actions.
It was worth it.
In that cell.
It was crazy.
You know, a lot of these gals, they like bad boys. And, you know, if your gal's like that and she wants to get a job as a prison guard, I think that's kind of a deal breaker, isn't it? Because she's just going shopping.
Yeah,
you know, she's trying to date. That's like her Tinder.
Yeah, she is going shopping. And people get leaned up in prison. And it's not, you know, you are working out, but it's mostly that stress that got you looking all lean.
Yeah.
It's mostly that stress.
Most of them are sober
and
focused. They got their stuff together for the first time in their life.
Yeah, they got nothing but time to focus in on you and tell you all the sweet nothings in your ear. Unlike your man, he's got a job. He's got to do things. He's got pressure. He has to find time for you. He has nothing
but time.
Why don't
you ever listen to me? Because I'm at work, okay?
I don't see her having a problem.
I'm trying to keep my house. Sorry. Trying to keep us free, baby. Trying to give us free. Well, she was in court, and you should listen to this judge. I don't know if they're called a judge over there in the UK, whatever it may be. He had the silly wigs on and whatnot as he was reading her everything she did wrong before the sentencing. You seen this?
They still do that over there?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of that guy in his wig. That looked horrible.
It looked horrible. He looked so goofy.
Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah. Especially those Jamaicans. Those
that's great the, accent,
that's
though.
That's so weird with those Jamaicans.
That's wild.
Maybe some black dudes with the white wigs.
It's
tradition.
It's tradition.
You're done wrong. let's listen to this guy. I guess it's a judge. I don't know what he is, but he's going to read her rights and everything she did wrong and sentenced to her 15 months. And I can't believe he said it like this.
The recording lasts some 4.5 minutes, during which you gave the prisoner sex, then intercourse in a number of positions, before concluding by giving him more sex. You participated
about.
With evident enthusiasm.
Hey.
The second prisoner recorded events and provided a commentary by way of encouragement, including saying... Guys, we made history. This is how we live at Wandsworth, bruv.
Mm.
And you know you are a gangster.
Mm.
Linda, D'Souza, Abreu, stand up. The sentence on you is one of 15 months imprisonment.
She cheered for that.
She's ready to do some hard
time. She's ready to go back.
She's like, can I spend it in a men's prison?
Yeah.
I like this part. Hold on, listen to this.
You participated with evident enthusiasm.
She was getting extra active. Commentary. Is he trying to go viral?
That's crazy.
Evident enthusiasm.
And provided a commentary by way of encouragement, including saying, guys, we made history.
Oh, my God. He gave an encouragement, man.
Guys, I feel like he's narrating a nature show or something.
Yeah. Now, as you see, the Melbourne... Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
I mean, female prison guards, they have to be, scale of 1 to 10, it has to be a maximum of like a 4 on the 1 to 10 hot scale. You can't be bringing dimes into the prison guard room, okay?
You know what? You're right. She was too pretty. She was way too pretty to be a prison guard. She was.
That would cause a riot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, clearly. And clearly it did. You got to bring some threes and fours in there. About
did they care?
You know, the threes and fours going to get worked. They're going to get worked. But, you know, yeah. I mean, not as much. Good Lord.
Not as much,
man. Too much for those guys. All right.
Just the lifers at that point.
Yeah, you know. After you've been about 2 years, that number four, you'd be like, hey, you know what? That waist ain't too bad. Yeah. I know I might have to stretch all the way up. Grab it
back. I actually like FUPA.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with myself.
It's a delicacy for me. It's a delicacy. All right, I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on a Friday. Hopefully I won't slip and slide out here. You be careful. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I holla.
Dude, I better hear that tomorrow on Masterpiece of the Week. I actually like FUPA. That's the line of the year there from Eric Chiafalo. Thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Jeff joined us back in the expressway at 5:20. You can go back with instant rewind functionality with the Odyssey app, 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, or YouTube. Okay, we have questions for the college football weekend coming up at 6:20, but a chuck wagon is next. Zachary, what's in store?
Giving your mom a salary, an update on Daniel Gafford and the Music City Miracle. That's next.